So, like I said, supports and barriers to physical activity engagement for Native Hawaiian College students by myself, Jamie Boyd and Catherine Braun, published in Preventing Chronic Disease. And so introduction or the rationale for the study and the background is that low socioeconomic status, education, and wage inequities equal increased incidence of poor health outcomes for Native Hawaiians, and also students at community colleges have less access to sports and health services because these are generally offered at the universities. Locally, Native Hawaiians have a higher incidence of chronic disease, especially with diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer compared to other ethnicities, which is largely Filipino, Japanese, and Caucasian in our state. And 72% of Native Hawaiians are overweight, and only 54% met national recommendations for physical activity. On the education front and inequities, there's a poor graduation rate of Native Hawaiians from high school, and only 10% of those who do graduate will go to college, and only 1% of those who go to college will actually graduate. So students in colleges, for us, are exhibiting motivation for change, and we thought that was an opportune moment. So the purpose or the question for us was, what are the perceptions of young adult Native Hawaiian college students related to lifestyle and physical activity? What are their ideas about the supports and barriers to healthy living, and their recommendations for us to create desirable programs? Ultimately, we hope to lessen the negative effects of health and education inequities. So we did a dual design focus groups and self-rated health and physical activity questionnaires as part of one member of a multi-site network, Hawaii, Texas, California, and Mississippi Delta. We conducted it at Leeward Community College on the leeward coast of the island of Oahu because that's where the highest concentration of Native Hawaiians reside in our state. We used the social marketing theory that was already presented to you by Dr. Van Dyne, mostly to look at the product, the place, the price, and the promotion. As far as inclusion, students needed to be between the ages of 18 and 25, self-identified Native Hawaiians, currently enrolled in a community college in the 8 system colleges of Hawaii, living on the island of Oahu, and not currently participating in another health program at the time of the study. We also included key informants, not based on the recommendations of this project, but based on our own Native cultural values that came out of our 1998 Native Hawaiian Health Summit, to respect Native Hawaiian core values of olohaloa, which is to sustain life, ho'olokahi, which is to bring about unity amongst the people of our islands, Hawaiian or not, and kupuna, to respect the wisdom of our elders. So we invited experienced people and people with interest for young Hawaiians likely to experience poor health outcomes, low socioeconomic status, and educational barriers to form an advisory group. As far as recruitment, we did 5-minute presentations in different college courses that were likely to attract a high volume of Native Hawaiian students, such as Hawaiian language and Hawaiian studies, and the four colleges that are present on our island. The other 4 are in other islands in the state. Training was done for all members on the research team so that we could understand using focus groups with this population, because focus groups are foreign to our culture, and the training was provided by Imi Hali, the Native Hawaiian Cancer Awareness Research and Training Center on the island of Oahu, supported by National Cancer Institute. Well, apparently I talked fast for that slide. Okay, so measures. So we looked at the demographic and self-rated health and physical activity questionnaire, which was a 6-point scale, self-rated, looking at minutes per day, per week, and the types of exercises students engage in. We also used the focus group guide that was created by our key informants, our Native elders, using that social marketing strategy framework. So the questions that we asked were, what does being healthy mean to you? Because this means something different to different people. What makes it difficult for you, easy or difficult for you to be healthy? What kinds of activities do you like to do? Why are some more appealing to you than others? And what would you recommend to us to create the kinds of programs that you would actually attend? So in addition to that, there are some 5 core prevention strategies that Dr. Van Dyne talked about. And so we if students didn't bring these up, we kind of probed for them as far as community-wide campaigns and behavior change programs or places for physical activity, social and community supports, and the one I can't talk fast enough for. And then so we analyzed, and also the questionnaire and the unabridged transcripts, myself, the PI, the co-investigator, Dr. Braun, and a research assistant, and we created this visual tool which is more culturally appropriate for us than reams of data, so that our community key informant partners could look to see where in the transcripts the participants had made a particular statement. So across the top there's group 1, participant 1, participant 2, participant 3, etc. And then down the side are the themes. And there were actually initially 32 themes that we continued to collapse so that we could help the community and the students understand how we came to our final decisions about what was in the data and what was taken out. So as far as a visual tool, it helped us point out specificity as opposed to extensiveness so that they could see emphasis across the groups. And we felt that for us, we got good feedback from the community partners. We summarized the codebook findings and went back and presented it to the 10 key informants, which, by the way, were 4 healthcare professionals, a physician, 2 social workers and a nurse, 4 representatives from academia, a counselor, 2 teachers, and an administrator, 2 students. Together they were 4 male and 6 female, always adhering to the Native Hawaiian cultural value to look to our elders to interpret ideas and cultural concepts. We're working very hard to blend our new modern Hawaii without losing our own Hawaiian identity. So the results I'll present to you now are the demographic and physical activity self-rated questionnaire. So demographically, most of the students, or more than half of them, were between the ages of 18 and 20. Two-thirds were female. Nearly all were single. More than half lived in a household of 5 or more people, which is a new phenomenon in Hawaii called multi-generational housing, because they can't afford it. And more than half, or three-fourths, were either unemployed or part-time, which is why there's such a high dropout rate, because they can't afford to stay in school. So as far as the self-rated scale, most, 65%, rated themselves as somewhat healthy, but it's notable that 18% said that they were unsure, telling us that a 6-point scale may be inappropriate for Native Hawaiian students. And while 43% said that they did get the recommended 5 or more days of activity combined, a larger percentage did not get the recommended amount of days of activity per week. And then a large portion, more than, or nearly 60%, said that they got more minutes. So that tells us that Native Hawaiians are more interested in endurance over time than frequency in days per week. And also, 60% did not meet the national recommendations, which we expected since we saw that in the literature before we got started. If we go back around, we'd really like to look at focusing on endurance as opposed to frequency. As far as the focus groups, we found 3 major themes, the first being ideal health, the second being supports for healthy living, and also barriers to healthy living as one theme. Fitting in time for family, and ideas for programming, combining traditional and Native, or Native and Western. So in ideal health, there were 3 sub-themes, primarily being active through purposeful living, having a good self-identity, and following a healthy diet. Being active through purposeful living trumped community-wide campaigns. So we learned that health is a natural result of a busy lifestyle that is influenced by relationships with others. So if we did do a large community-wide campaign, we would really focus on the work that you do when you're just vacuuming the house and washing the car and letting people know that that is activity and you can stay healthy by just being busy, instead of making them feel like if you don't go to the gym and you don't jog, you don't stand a chance. So we learned a lot, and that's just our students on the farm. One student in the focus group saying it's more about having a healthy self-identity than looking good. Another said, when I'm watching the kids, I'm constantly moving around. And another said, without a healthy diet, you wouldn't have enough strength to do your responsibilities. So they were more focused on the diet than the physical activity part. We took that information to the key informants, and they encouraged us to build on the results and pursue integration of traditional and free sports while engaging students in ways to explore issues of identity and spirit relationship to wellness. And they were happy that Native Hawaiians still identify their sense of health as part of their spirituality. God gives you health. The second theme, supports and barriers for healthy living, also had three sub-themes, primarily free activities, because we live in paradise, and routines that include exercise or work, such as taking care of your house, and supports. And they also talked about critical incidents, such as when a family member is diagnosed with a disease, and how all the other family members will try to either quit smoking or eat more fruits and vegetables when one member is sick. So we learned that the most significant support to healthy living is promoting free activities. We can use this to spark students' interest. They really said that if the problem starts with their interest and their lack of interest. And using critical incidents among family members to influence behavior change is also a tool that we found in the literature, mostly in cardiac studies. And so students on the farm, that's an organic farm in Hawaii that in the second part of our study students are now working on based on the data that we got. And so one student said, yeah, free activities, you can surf or swim, you don't even have to pay for it. But in relation to access, another student said, yeah, you stay outside and surf all day and you can't pay the rent. So while we could do something to promote free activities, we need to keep in mind that economic hardships. And so on the second half of that theme were the barriers to healthy living. And as Marianne or Dr. Van Dyne pointed out, we're the same as people across the nation, across cultures, that it's about a lack of time. Living in today's society, the American dream of two jobs and paying rent, and their laziness. So we learned that students experience common barriers associated with their transition years and their sense of invincibility and laziness as a natural part of being Americanized. And I don't know if Hawaiians were like this before we were Americanized, but it's probably not a new thing. So this is one college student trying to fit in work study with college, volunteering at the local hospital, hoping to go to pre-med. So one student said, I think I could do a lot more, but it's just that I'm lazy sometimes. Well, you live in paradise. What do you expect? I find myself making excuses so I don't have to exercise. Hello, you live in paradise. So I'm not motivated to make healthy choices even when they're within reach. And this is what's significant to us, because if we do community-wide campaigns, would they follow? So we took that information to our key informants, and they said that the results were expected. These are high school students, so be careful and use the motivational power of peer supports, because peers can promote ola holoa, which is our native value for sustaining life, and ola pono, which is to live right or purposeful. If you take good care of your family, the universe will take good care of you. Use experience of critical incidents even though they cannot be planned, because we don't plan for diabetes. So instead, students should fill out health forms so they can see from their past and learn. And the third theme, ideas for programming, had four sub-themes. First, to offer cultural courses in a cultural context to perpetuate Hawaiian culture, to offer incentives such as credit-bearing projects and tuition waivers. They highly support social supports, part of the five key strategies, especially if they include their parents and their children, and active learning. They don't want to look at food labels. They want to learn how to grocery shop and cook. So that's what they're asking for in a college setting. So we learned that services should be provided by cultural experts and tailored to complement both traditional and Western activities in culturally relevant ways, perhaps offered as college credit, as an incentive to this population. And this is a native elder. Our students took a field trip out to a traditional Hawaiian farm to learn about how foods are grown fresh and the benefits of these specific foods to the body. And that kalo plant that he's holding is the most significant vegetable in myth. There's a lot of legends surrounding the power of this vegetable. So ideas for programming. Student said, I think if you do some kind of active program based in Hawaiian ways, it grounds you back home and makes you spiritually healthier. We took that to the key informants, and they said, well, Native Hawaiians are not the only people who are interested in preserving Hawaiian culture. A lot of other people are interested in preserving our nation's past. So they promote incorporating cultural activities to attract all kinds of people to live a healthier life. So in summary, our final discussion is that prevention can be costly and counterproductive, so it's wise to do this kind of research up front to look at what your target audience and end users would rather you do. In our case, they prefer activity-based, credit-bearing interventions that are culturally relevant and support healthy living to support their self-identity. What do they themselves describe as healthy? Our recommendations for the future are to consider combining health and education resources for this at-risk population to improve their physical activity and also to affect positive change in health and education inequities. At the same time, if we keep physical activity separate, it's a disadvantage for us when we could combine them and also move Hawaiians to college and support them to be healthy and hopefully in the long run economically self-sufficient and self-sustainable.
Thank you.
And so next is Isabel, and she's going to present to you her work with physical activity in the African American population from the Mississippi Delta.